Leofric, of course, laughed like a demented jackdaw.
"He's no fool, is he?" he said when he had recovered. "He's making you into a West Saxon. So, what do you know about this Milterwerk?"
Milterwerk was a pain in the spleen. "Mildreth," I said, "and she's pious."
"Of course she's pious. He wouldn't want you to marry her if she was a leg spreader."
"She's an orphan," I said, "and aged about 16 or 17.
"Christ, that old? She must be an ugly sow. But poor thing, she must be wearing out her knees praying to be spared a rutting from an Ursling like you. But that's her fate. So let's get you married. Then we can kill some Danes."
It was winter. We had spent the Christmas feast at Chippenham, and that was no Yule. And now we rode south through frost and rain and wind. Father Willibald accompanied us, for he was still priest to the fleet, and my plan was to reach Defnarshire, do what was grimly necessary, and then ride straight to Hampton to make certain the winter work on the 12 boats was being done properly. It is in winter that ships are caulked, scraped, cleaned, and made tight for the spring, and the thought of ships made me dream of the Danes, and of Breda, and I wondered where she was, what she did, and whether we would meet again. And I thought of Ragnar. Had he found Thyra? Did Kjartan live? Theirs was another world now, and I knew I drifted away from it, and was being entangled in the threads of Alfred's tidy life. He was trying to make me into a West Saxon, and he was half succeeding. I was sworn now to fight for Wessex, and it seemed I must marry into it, but I still clung to that ancient dream of retaking Bebbanburg. I loved Bebbanburg, and I almost loved Defnarshire as much. When the world was made by Thor from the carcass of Ymir, he did well when he fashioned Defnarshire and its shire next door, Thornsitter. Both were beautiful lands of soft hills and quick streams, of rich fields and thick soil, of high heaths and good harbours. A man could live well in either shire, and I could have been happy in Defnarshire had I not loved Bebbanburg more. We rode down the valley of the River Wiske, through well-tended fields of red earth, past plump villages and high halls until we came to Exonchester, which was the shire's chief town. It had been made by the Romans, who had built a fortress on a hill above the Wiske, and surrounded it with a wall of flint, stone and brick. And the wall was still there, and guards challenged us as we reached the northern gate.
"We come to see Ealdorman Odda," Willibald said.
"On whose business?"
"The king's," Willibald said proudly, flourishing a letter that bore Alfred's seal, though I doubt the guards would have recognised it, but they seemed properly impressed and let us through into a town of decaying Roman buildings, amid which a timber church reared tall next to Ealdorman Odda's hall. The ealdorman made us wait, but at last he came with his son and a dozen retainers, and one of his priests read the king's letter aloud. It was Alfred's pleasure that Mildreth should be married to his loyal servant, the ealdorman Uhtred, and Odda was commanded to arrange the ceremony with as little delay as possible. Odda was not pleased at the news. He was an elderly man, at least 40 years old, with grey hair and a face made grotesque by a bulbous wens. His son, Odda the younger, was even less pleased, for he scowled at the news.
"It isn't seemly, father," he complained.
"It is the king's wish."
"But..."
"It is the king's wish,"